Greetings. My name is Alice Janssen, and it's a pleasure for me to welcome you to the ICANN Strategic Panel's Draft Reports webinar. Before we begin, I'd like to briefly remind all participants of housekeeping items. This webinar is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. This session is being streamed via the Adobe Connect room. If you intend to voice comments or questions during the Q&A, please join the Adigo Bridge. Up on the screen, you will find the agenda. It is also available in the notes pod. My colleague, Grace Abu-Hamad, will be our timekeeper today. Participants' lines are muted throughout presentations and will be open for the Q&A. During presentations, you may submit questions using the Adobe Connect chat pod. At the end of presentations, you will be given the opportunity to voice your comments and questions. All lines will be unmuted for the Q&A. If you are on the bridge, please remember to mute your computer speakers once the floor is open to avoid echo. Should you not be speaking, please mute your line using star 6. Dial star 7 to unmute. If you wish to speak during the Q&A, please raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room to be added to the queue. Slides, recording, and transcript will be made available following the session. You may find these housekeeping indications in the Adobe Connect notes. With that, we'll turn to Beth Novak.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for organizing this. It's a great opportunity for us to present the work that we've been actively engaged in the multi-stakeholder innovation panel, which is sadly rapidly coming to a close. So let me jump right into the presentation and set the stage a little bit by going to the first substantive slide, slide 4. So there is a wider conversation going on around the world in many different venues about how we are actually going to continue to maintain a thriving system of distributed and networked yet coordinated governance of the Internet. That's going to require us to make some very hard decisions and to deepen our understanding about how do we decide and who decides and what are the topics and when and how. So if we're to have a truly global coordinated system, it requires answering a lot of important institutional questions that will be touched upon today and are being dealt with in many venues. But to begin to answer that question and to understand what are the possibilities for who decides and when and how, we really need to understand how technology is transforming how we make decisions and how we can work at a distance using the technology to solve problems in new ways. So this is really the premise that's informed the work of this panel, is trying to focus very much on the set of recommendations we might make to the ICANN community around the new strategies for decision making that in turn might inform new kinds of institutional arrangements and innovations. If we go to the next slide about the panel members, you'll see that the panel has comprised a very delightful and wonderful and accomplished group of people from around the world, whose faces and pictures you'll see here that range from Joey Ito, the director of the Massachusetts Institute for Technology's Media Lab, to Guo Liang, the director of the China Internet Project, Kareem Lakhani, who's an expert in open innovation from Harvard Business School, Jeff Mulgan, the head of the UK's Innovation Institute called Nesta, Bitange Ndemo, the former Minister of Communications of Kenya, and Alison Gillowall, the Executive Director of Research ICT in Africa. So representing a wide range of geographic and disciplinary perspectives and combining both expertise in Internet governance and expertise in innovations in governance more broadly. On the next slide, you'll see, and just to remind you, we had a charter which asked us to look at these new models for international engagement and to design processes and tools and platforms, again, to think about what are the mechanisms by which people are newly making decisions today and working together that might inform ways that ICANN might innovate in how it works. If we go to the next slide, you'll see that over the last few months, we've been very busy. The panel has developed 16 concrete proposals, 16 concrete recommendations for experimental pilot projects that ICANN could undertake over the next year in order to test some of these new innovations in governance. And that was the promise that we made to the group when asked to do this, is that we wouldn't simply put out a set of principles or a set of vague ideas, but what we would actually try to do is to develop recommendations that are specific enough that if the community so chooses, it has the wherewithal to take forward the proposals and develop them further and more concretely into something that is ready and capable of being implemented. Again, we are only making recommendations, but we want to make recommendations that are concrete and specific and therefore of greatest use. You'll find everything that we've done on the GovLab blog as well as on the ICANN project page, the links are for which are included in the slide deck, and we have our own panel page where you can review all of the 16 recommendations that we've put together. We've been capably and ably supported in this effort, as you'll see on the next slide, by the research organization I head called the Governance Lab, whose goal it is to think about exactly how we can take new technologies to help us to govern better across a wide range of contexts and institutions, so we're able to bring, again, the expertise and the case studies and the know-how and the knowledge of how other people are innovating in the way that they govern to the recommendations that we've put together for ICANN. And keeping in mind, though, and cognizant of the fact that we're outsiders very much to this process, that we have been, that I was asked and honored with this role very much in order to contribute this perspective on governance innovation more broadly, we wanted to get very smart as we could, about the workings of ICANN and the time that we had. So you'll see that we've put together, and we welcome you to read and to give us feedback on a primer, two primers on ICANN that the team developed. I believe that Jill Raines and Anthony DeClercq, who've worked with me tirelessly on this project, are on the line as well. They've developed both these primers to help us ensure in our conversations that we understood the means and the mechanisms that we were talking about, that we understood the details of how ICANN works, in order that the recommendations that the panel makes are, as specific and concrete as possible, as capable later of being implemented by others. We put out every week, because we're trying to get smart about ICANN, we read widely in the internet governance literature, and we share what we read with others in a curated and annotated bibliography that we call the GovLab Scan. So SCAN stands for Selected Curation of Articles in Net Governance, and I'm pleased to report that you'll find on the GovLab website the 17th edition of the Scan. We put it out weekly, and it's really a tremendous resource of readings around internet governance from around the globe. In the next slide, what we go into is the process by which the panel unfolded. We did all of our work in the open. We developed a three-stage process, what we nicknamed the brainstorm in a box, where we asked people online to give us ideas for the kinds of recommendations we might make. Then we took each of those ideas and distilled them into the 16 sort of buckets of proposals that you've seen, and we took each of those and blogged about them in more detail in order to solicit further comment and input. In addition, during both of these two phases, we did interviews, we received comments from people, we talked to people in a multiplicity of ways to inform the work of the panel, and of course the panel collaborated and worked with each other in order to develop the set of recommendations that we have put up online now and which are capable of being annotated and edited using a collaborative annotation tool. To summarize, the panel has put out a set of recommendations that really fall into three categories. And you'll see the graphic of these three that gives you all the recommendations at a glance. But let me skip to the slide which says core principles. What the panel discussed is that a 21st century organization and the kinds of recommendations we want to make around what it means to have a 21st century organization is that institutions are, to bring an institution really up to date, it needs to be effective in the way that it works. It needs to solve the problems that it's tasked with solving. At the same time, it also has to do so legitimately, particularly institutions that operate in the public interest. It has to be inclusive of those people who are affected by its decision-making processes, have to be involved in those decision-making processes. And at the same time, recognizing how fast technology is changing and how data and new data tools are giving us the ability to measure what we're doing in new ways, an institution today has to be evolving. It has to use the information that's available to change how it works, to evolve how it works in order to do so better. There are 16 proposals which range across these three buckets, if you will. And they are summarized, if you go to the slide that says effective on the top, if you scroll through the next two or three slides, what you'll see is the range of what these proposals are essentially summarized in brief. For example, to get smarter, to get better information in, we've proposed and made the recommendation that ICANN should experiment with the use of what are called expert networks, new platforms for getting expertise in from outside. At the same time, ICANN might consider embracing the principles and the practices of open data and open contracting, as many institutions are doing, by putting up their own data online and inviting third parties to use it to scrutinize their work, but also to develop new visualizations, new models, new analysis, etc. An institution also has to be agile, and collaborative drafting tools can allow ICANN, for example, to open itself to broad-based collaboration in new ways, working in between meetings across a distance to draft together. There's a set of proposals, again, under inclusive, and let me just sort of highlight some of them very quickly. Again, these are recommendations for experiments, and above all, recommendations to undertake pilot projects to try and see what works. So one example is, are there new ways to actually test some of the new crowdsourcing platforms to get in new ideas and to get more people involved in decision-making? Might we try moving from a system which is largely organized around stakeholder engagement to one in which there is more topic-based or working group engagement? Could we try using rotating term limits or experimenting with the term limits of members in different groups in different contexts within ICANN in order to see whether that helps to create greater legitimacy and bring new voices and ideas into decision-making processes? I'm going to go forward in the interest of time and point out under a legitimate that, again, there are one or two ideas here. The idea of establishing a citizen jury, a technique that has been pioneered elsewhere, which essentially uses the concept of the jury that we all know, but creates random groups or sometimes topical groups of citizens who essentially might sit in a term-limited fashion, is sort of performing an oversight function over a bureaucracy or over a particular official as a way of creating both accountability and legitimacy in a process, but also bringing in new voices. And above all, let's go on to evolving. We want to emphasize this recommendation of the importance of being experimental, of the idea of learning from what we do, of using data to drive, of using new kinds of experiments in order to improve and test, above all, what works. So you can see there's more on the slides here in depth on some of these particular proposals, which I've already touched on, the idea of topic-based decision-making, embracing evidence, which I've already discussed, and open data, which I've also mentioned. You can see some of the details here on the slides, but I invite you to go back to the links and to read each of the proposals. There is a summary blog post which outlines all of the 16 proposals, and each one of them is detailed in about 2 to 3 pages. So they're readable. The recommendations are really readable. So where do we go from here? Our goal is to do what we can to provide these recommendations, to inform the strategic plan, to communicate what we've worked on to the community through dialogues like this and in others, to capture the learnings from the panel and to share them with the wider public. And I would put a set of questions to you in closing, a set of questions that is to wrap up this process would be very helpful to us, is we want to understand, in order to make the most specific and concrete and useful recommendations possible, which of these proposals do you think may work best in the ICANN context? Which of those don't make sense and why? And how we might prioritize piloting them with ICANN. In other words, we want to provide as much detail in the recommendations to help you decide which ones to take forward. And what we need a lot of help with, because the time has not allowed us to do so, is to really figure out how these recommendations apply in the context of ICANN. So we welcome your feedback, and I welcome the discussion, and happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Beth. We will ask that the lines be unmuted for the Q&A. Operator, can you please unmute the lines?
Listen-only mode is now off.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments? Steve Crocker has his hand up. Steve?
Hi there. Beth, really spectacular work. I'm very impressed and energized, which is a separate and maybe even more important attribute. You asked for prioritization and how well these fit into the ICANN world. I was turning that over in my mind and thinking that if I was going to go down a checklist of these 16 proposals, I would probably try to respond in two ways to each proposal. One is a degree of warmth as to how well it fit in, as you're asking for. And the other is how well I understand these. Some of these are crisper and clearer than others. And I'd be inclined to take a few of them and say, I don't understand it well enough to be able to react to it. If you want to put out a template that has a way to respond quickly on those two dimensions, you may be able to get certainly me, but others to respond to survey, and then leave plenty of room for commentary, of course, because it's the anecdotal responses that are sometimes even more useful.
So I think that's if I may respond, I just think that's a fabulous idea as a thing that we can do towards the end here is to create some kind of a heat map or Likert scale or something to get people to respond across these two variables, and then in turn to it might provoke some additional feedback and more detailed discussion either during the lifetime of the panel or thereafter, but I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and just to put one little detail in here, there are two tool-oriented things that I was turning over my mind and asking, so are these significantly different, and if so, how? One was the, I've got to flip through here, experts, I think, and the other, I lost track of it, but the form of my thought was that there were two of these that I was not entirely sure that they were, how different or similar they might be. Use of expert networks and collaborative drafting. I was trying to understand what the mechanisms were underneath both of these. No need to answer. I'm just sharing.
I'm trying to monitor the queue and see whether. Let me just give one line, which is expert networks. If you think about some of the platforms, even like a LinkedIn, that help us identify who knows what. And there are many new tools, hundreds of them, that are out there to actually pinpoint who has what kinds of expertise and make it possible to then invite folks to participate based on their specific qualifications or learning. That expertise might be based on credentials, but it might also be based on what people's interests are, what people's talents are or skills are. If you thought about the type of people who are successful at answering questions in a Q&A platform, a Q&A coding platform, or that's a different type of mechanism than, say, a collaborative drafting. The two would work very well together, where you could invite certain types of people, target certain types of people to participate, not to the exclusion of others, but to try to target people with specific kinds of technical know-how, and then use a collaborative drafting tool to create something together. It's really just a technique in some sense for trying to market to some of the audiences you want to reach who might have significant topical expertise.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next to the queue is Mike Nelson. Mike? You may be on mute, Mike. Okay, Mike, please try joining the bridge. In the meantime, Elliot Knoss. Elliot? Okay, we're also having trouble hearing Elliot. Elliot, please join the bridge. Vince is in the queue.
Sorry, I had to unmute. I have two comments. First of all, thanks very much, Beth, for an excellent presentation. Second, I wanted to endorse the idea of experimenting with different ways of coming to policy conclusions. The working group idea, in analogy to IETF, is very attractive given the complexity of the existing stakeholder supporting organization structures for doing policy development, but it's clear that we don't necessarily know what alternatives will work, and so experimenting with them, I think, is a very good idea. And the third point regarding shared documents that you can co-edit, I can tell you that the ecosystem panel made very heavy use of the Google Docs, which has that feature, and it allowed us to very quickly come to some conclusions. So we can recommend those as very useful practices. Thanks.
I think that's great. And just for that last, to both of these points, you know, collaborative drafting can really help to improve workflow across a distance. Most of us use it in our domestic context, but I think the opportunity to look at how to use it more at scale, we've been experimenting with document annotation as well, and we found that very useful. It's different than the, you know, sort of working group idea of using new technologies to get the right people into a group, but there are new platforms to do either of those. And again, I can't second enough the kind of concept of experimentation and really testing what works as the best way to, you know, as a great way to try to, again, see what new mechanisms are out there, because only if we understand what the new mechanisms are for working and doing and deciding can we then think about the new institutional innovations. We do make more, we do use more detail in the recommendations to describe the different contexts for decision making. That was the last point, Bint, to which you alluded. So the notion that what you might do in a context where what you're trying to do is brainstorm a lot of ideas, or just to figure out what possible solutions are, might be a different set of mechanisms than when you're trying to hone in on choosing one proposal or even implementing. So there's stages to a policymaking process, as we know, and part of the recommendations we make have to do with what kinds of techniques might apply when, and that's some, you know, additional expertise that we might try to share as we wire.
This is Mike Nelson. I'm really glad you're focusing on those issues, because there's Nelson's Law of Listservs, which the people with the least to say have the most time to say it. And so finding ways to tap the wisdom of the ICANN community without a few voices drowning everyone else out or chasing them away is really important. But there's another really important issue that I've observed at ICANN, which is that by embracing the multi-stakeholder model the way that we have done, and setting up these different committees that are supposed to separate and represent each different interest group, we sometimes polarize the debate. And so we end up with advocates for different positions who take the strongest possible position, whether it's on copyright or law enforcement needs or the concerns of the registrars. Is there any thought on how to push consensus more effectively so that compromises can be worked out earlier than they are today, and that we can move more quickly without, often the board ends up having to be the referee because the different constituencies are all off in their corners taking the most extreme positions possible.
Hi everyone, I apologize, time is up. Perhaps we can answer these questions in the chat. We need to move on to the next speaker.
Saved by the bell. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. I will. I'll type in the chat a little bit, and we can also take this offline or blog a little bit more about it.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
I'm sorry for the interruption. This is Alice. Just to clarify that we're having a problem with Paul's line. We are connecting back, and we'll be online shortly.
Hi, this is Paul here.
Hi, Paul. Thanks.
I don't see my slides up, are they?
They're pinging us up here. Are you having trouble seeing your slides, or are they appearing now?
I'm seeing slide 22, panel's questions.
Okay, let me reload the presentation for you.
I have the actual deck, so I could kind of do this by dead reckoning if you'd like, if the other people are seeing the slides.
Yes, please do.
Okay, I think I've got slide number one up now.
Okay, here we go. Paul, do you have everything you need to start?
I can start, but my display is still showing me only slide number one. I don't know what other people are seeing. Ah, here we go.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Fine. Hi, welcome. I'm Paul Makapetris, and I'm going to speak to you about the Identifier Technology Innovation Panel. That title was purposely picked because we wanted to be broader than just DNS issues. Due to some schedule compression, we didn't spend as much time in the other parts of the identifier space as we would have liked, but we still managed to spend some time there. Next slide, please. The people involved are shown here from A to Z, from Ari to Zhang. Ari is, for example, the ITF chair, and Lisa is, for example, professor at UCLA. We all participated as individuals rather than using our titles, and hence the titles aren't shown here. But I think it was a very good cross-section of people, both from the standpoint of people with practice, overviews, and the research community. I know I never felt that I was the smartest person in the room when those guys were around. Next, please. One of the things to do is to consider sort of the future of the identifiers we have, and in particular, DNS. And I think one of the things we were very conscious of is that the race doesn't necessarily go to the most elegant or the most standardized or whatever, so that it's a very kind of Darwin-esque struggle. And if you take a look at the DNS, there's factors that will tend to expand and factors that will tend to contract. Oh, that's nice and bigger now. On the expansion side, we have organic growth, and we are the legacy system, and every computing device on the Internet understands the DNS, so that's a pretty powerful set of advantages. We know that the new TLDs are certainly going to be out there marketing new ideas, and I'm sure there'll be some innovation out there, despite what some of the skeptics say. One of the ways to get expansion, I think, would be new capabilities or new data in the DNS. At the recent IETF meeting, one of the things that became apparent is there's a lot of people who are trying to add to the space, the .onion people, the .local people. There's lots of you using .local, whether you know it or not, because you're on a Macintosh. There's this question about the relationship with other systems and what exactly is a domain name that's been debated quite a bit at last week's IETF. On the other side of the ledger, it's certainly the case that the mobile world is where a lot of the growth is at, and people are going to be using general English language queries or speech or whatever. And at the user interface, the UI, there's a bunch of things that make typing domain names not so convenient. Another big concern we had is that there's lots of people who feel that there's protocol and process obfuscation. In other words, it's impossible to innovate in the DNS protocol because there's so much legacy out there. The legacy is both on the expansion and contraction sides of the equation here. There's commercial identifiers, whether or not that's your Facebook ID or your Google ID or whatever. Those people want their identifiers to be successful. And lastly, there's a bunch of new systems from the research world, and we'll talk a little bit more about those. Next slide, please. You know, in the research world today, names are very hot. They're very popular. Name-based networking, context-based networking, information-based networking. There's easily a dozen different variants on the same idea. The only thing they seem to not be able to agree on is a name for their field. Common themes there, though, are access by name. It's sort of one step beyond the ID locator split kind of arguments that have been made for a long time in the IP world, and this just says you name the content and you let the substrate find it. Opportunistic caching will improve the performance. And the common ingredients there are self-certifying or flat names, public key infrastructures, etc. So one of the questions is whether or not you can either accelerate a DNS upgrade, in other words, take some of these ideas from the research world and add them to the current DNS, or, dare I say it, figure out how to accelerate the transition to a newer system, because the DNS won't live forever. Next slide, please. So I think the roadmap question for ICANN, they wanted a roadmap for what we see in the DNS. I think that, you know, the present limitations are a bunch of operational and protocol and process things. One of the examples of this is there's a DNS ops working group in the IETF who does what I would regard as protocol work, but they call it mechanisms because they're allowed to do mechanisms and not protocol to avoid the process. Interestingly enough, there's probably half a dozen or 10 IETF working groups that are adding facilities to the DNS or mechanisms, perhaps, but the DNS extensions working group per se is closed. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold. So one of the questions is, are there particular aspects of it that ICANN should try and preserve and enhance the DNS aspect? That's one of its big missions in life, how to try to spur some deossification. Next slide, please. One of the ideas that we explored was hardening the root. I think that there's two major opportunities there. One is the generation of the root zone itself. Some people suggested that we should look at more secure components. We talked about that a little bit, but that seems to be mostly a small part of the problem that might be in some of the components. A larger problem would be to kind of globalize control of the root zone, and we came up with a concept that I call shared zone control that we'll talk in the next slide, but it's basically a technical way to share control that the policymakers could configure however they want. I just want to repeat that one more time. We're not trying to tell you what rules you should be using, but we are telling you that we think that there's a number of technical ways to distribute control that would then make life a whole lot easier. The second part of this is distributing the root zone itself. And the basic idea here is that we should be distributing copies of the root zone to anybody that wants them rather than relying on the root servers. This takes away a hard target for the people like Anonymous who want to try and attack the root servers with DDoS attacks or by attacking the routing system or whatever. The basic rule is if you have your own copy of the root, then the fact that you can't access root servers or ICANN or whatever doesn't matter because you have what you need. And there was one concrete proposal for that that's included in the panel report. And there's a bunch of other ideas, particularly from those research systems, that I think would enable us to go do that. Next, please. The basic idea behind shared zone control is, could we imagine a workflow language that allows multiple parties different rights for the same zone? And this could be the root, but it doesn't have to be. For the root, we could make it possible to split control and implement change in a distributed algorithm and avoid the whole single authority issue. So this is, for example, you see this idea out there in Netcoin and in other Byzantine consensus algorithms. You could have an algorithm out there that has an aspect of voting and an aspect of workflow, and you just decide how you want to coordinate the various parts of a particular DNS zone. Beyond the root, this could, for example, coordinate the glue, in other words, the parent versus child synchronization, the forward versus reverse address synchronization, or the DNSSEC keying stuff. We have some limited history there. For example, the DNS ops people are working on synchronizing parent and child DNS keys, and there's been suggestions for N out of N voting and so forth. We're just saying if we had a general facility, we could use it for many things, including sharing the root zone control. Next slide, please. Rethinking the DNS fundamentals. One of the arguments that people make is that there's all of these whole sets of Gordian knots to we have to deal with in order to move the DNS forward. There's the database structure, there's query and other operations. We explored all of these. One of the things that I think we agreed on was that it'd be nice if we had a consistent effort to try and think about whether or not there's a way to move the whole architecture forward. I think that part of the panel thought that that was very important so that we could actually do it, and another part of the panel frankly thought that history had suggested that this was a very difficult task and it's time to try it one time and either give up on it or move on. Well, the big question here, I think, is how to make the effort worth doing. There has to be a reward concomitant with any expansion of the technology. For example, going back to the issue of hardening the root or distributing control of the root, those are objectives we think are worthwhile, and hence the technology expansion could be justified there. Next slide, please. So the overall recommendations, very focused set, were we would like to see ICANN publish more signed data for reserve labels, et cetera, perhaps through the DNS. Today, for example, the reserve labels come in multiple languages, and there's references to basically PDFs or paper documents where people who are actually implementing the code to do these reservations have to be able to transcribe multiple languages into their code. There should be just a canonical version that's available online. The same thing could hold for mnemonics, for ASNs, or whatever. A study to define a vision, in other words, there's this overall question about, is there a way to facilitate a breakthrough? And we should do that. We think that it's time to think about prototyping the open root publication and the shared zone control. Those are two sort of specific small exercises. And lastly, although I didn't talk about it here, we're aware of the collision concerns that people have, and we think that the suggested remedies that are out there, we should do some exercises to actually try and apply them in friendly environments just to gain more confidence in their efficacy. So I think that's all of the slides. We should go to Q&A now.
Thank you, Paul. We will unmute the lines for Q&A. Do we have any questions or comments? I see that as his hand up, Vince.
I'm not sure. It's Marilyn. I'm not sure. Can I get in the queue?
I think you're at the head of the line.
Yeah, Ben is first in the queue.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, it's been served. Thanks very much, Paul. A couple of observations. The first one, of course, is that it's possible to develop any number of different ways of binding identifiers to IP addresses. It doesn't have to be DNS, and so I welcome the idea that we might explore other alternatives. There has already been some discussion about making it harder for the ccTLD entries to be modified without double confirmation from both ICANN and the ccTLD operators in order to avoid some of the concerns that people have had with regard to arbitrary changes made by the ICANN DNS management process. So I just wanted to mention those two things as interesting possibilities. I appreciate very much the work that you and your panel did.
Oh, thanks, Vint. That's very nice. Yeah, one of the things that was pointed out to me by people is that there's some UN rule that countries should be able to change their ccTLD data unilaterally. And I think it's a good example here because when we talked about N out of M voting, if N is 1, then that means that unless a country votes against its own proposal, it's going to go forward. So I just want to emphasize again that we did not suggest any particular policies out there, and there's several people who felt that there were already very strong policies there, and we were just going to implement whatever you wanted in a more efficient way. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Davey. Davey, you may be on mute. Davey, we cannot hear you. Please make sure to join the bridge. Marilyn, in the meantime. Marilyn?
I'd be happy to make my comment. I will just say I think we need to be a little respectful of different roles in these conversations. And since I represent the business community, I'd like to make that clear that I'm speaking as a business community representative. I think I've seen a lot of comments without clear definition of who players are, and I think we need to be careful about that. And when we speak in an individual capacity, let's make that clear. So I'm speaking as a business representative, and I've got a real concern about, and I really want to appreciate the comments that have been made and the submissions that have been made, and to ask, we are as business users, we have a number of very sophisticated players, but we also have a number of business users, and I think we'll be providing comments as the BC on all of the strategy panels. This one is particularly interesting to us since most of the businesses that build and operate the Internet are actually operating the recursive servers, they're operating a number of other parts of the Internet, and I mostly wanted to say how much I appreciated the briefing, but to say we need to bring your voice more clearly into the CSG, and I'll be the commercial stakeholder agreement, commercial stakeholder group, and I'll be sending a invitation to you to come and speak to us while we're in Singapore, because I think it's kind of ignored right now that most of the people who run and operate and build the Internet are aware of this particular strategy panel. Thank you.
Thank you.
David types his question in the Adobe Connect chat pod. His question is, how ICANN is expected to do in its 5-year span in technical aspect, especially for IPv6, just cooperating with IETF or set up technical work group in ICANN itself? How technical group can join such discussion of ICANN and how to do contribution? The comment is available in the chat pod.
I think that, let me give you one example. The IETF just recently wrote an RFC that sort of recognized that .local should be a TLD and that there might be other technical TLDs that they would allocate in the future, or reserve. And this came on the heels of previously, you know, the example top-level domain. And meanwhile, the ICANN is doing its own allocation of top-level domains, and people were going, oh my goodness, aren't these gears going to clash? I don't think it necessarily is the case. I think we need to work together. And in this particular case, I think, this is an internet governance style thing, so I'm not really the expert, but I'll observe that there were a lot of people on both sides that thought that either the IETF reserving TLDs would clash with the ICANN reservation of TLDs. And in reality, if we work it all together and address both the technical concerns and the political concerns, I don't think it has to be a problem. Certainly, if we were going to do a strategy to try and do a more architectural approach to ICANN, between ICANN and the IETF to try and architect a vision for DNS, you'd have to have, I think, both sides involved, because ICANN has a certain set of expertise for collecting information, and so does the IETF. It's not an accident that I had the chairman of the IETF on my panel, and we were both trying to work on this issue. So I think the answer is moving forward, and I think both bodies have things to contribute, and in some cases they don't overlap, and that the best way forward would be to have a joint effort of some sort. And I don't mean to exclude anyone else, just merely to say that if we were going to follow the panel's recommendation to do that study, those two parties at least would be included. With regard to IPv6, we didn't really discuss that much, because one of the things we tried to do in the panel was to avoid revisiting issues where there's an awful lot of ongoing work, and we would probably just be duplicating other stuff. Maybe that was right or maybe that was wrong, but that's what we did.
Thank you, everyone. We're going to move on to the next speaker.
Thank you, Grace. The next speaker is Nick Lehner.
I'm here to speak on the panel, strategy panel on public responsibility framework. The panel itself comprised myself and six others, but we happen to come from very diverse backgrounds, at least five different regions, and very multilingual, academia, industry, government, and development represented. So I'm looking forward to getting some input from you on this work. Okay. The document itself has four main parts. There's a framework, aims, and definitions part, and there's a part on current public responsibility work at the department level and also in the regional engagement strategies function. The third is the ICANN's initial public responsibility framework areas of focus that we recommend, and our recommendations. In the draft framework aim for discussion, we are looking at defining the public interest vis-a-vis ICANN's framework core mandate and detailing the target areas and audiences for ICANN's public responsibility approach. also detailing how ICANN can promote the global public interest in relation to its mission and core values by building out the base of internationally diverse, knowledgeable, and engaged ICANN stakeholders, as well as advising on the operational activities and funding approaches to ICANN's public responsibility programming outreach. In the definitions area, as an independent global organization, ICANN is one of the organizations charged with responsibility for an increasingly important shared global resource, the Internet. As one of the stewards of this resource, ICANN recognizes it has a responsibility to protect and promote the global public interest, both throughout its work and in collaboration with other entities. ICANN's public responsibility permeates all areas of its work at the core. ICANN defines the global public interest in relation to the Internet as ensuring the Internet becomes and continues to be stable, inclusive, and accessible across the world, so that all may enjoy the benefits of a single and open Internet. In addressing this public responsibility, ICANN must build trust in the Internet and in governance and its governance ecosystem. This vision is central to ICANN's public responsibility framework. However, there is need to define particular areas of focus and target topics, regions, and stakeholders that need to be addressed in relation to ICANN's responsibility to serve the global public. This framework document further defines these focus areas and prioritizes where ICANN needs to eliminate friction to ensure greater Internet openness and accessibility.
I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but it seems that some participants are having trouble hearing you. Could you please speak up?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Nee.
I'm now looking at current activities. This next slide. The current activities at the departmental level include external projects that are carried out by ICANN in the Internet ecosystem through various departments and regional strategies. There's public responsibility as capacity building. There's funding and partnerships. There's public responsibility as communication, awareness, and engagement. There's public responsibility as education. Next. Still in current activities, within the four focal areas of ICANN, there are regional strategies. The four focal areas are core operations, including Internet naming and addressing functions, ensuring adequate levels of stability, security, and resiliency of the DNS, competition, consumer trust, and consumer choices, and healthy Internet ecosystem. The regional strategies building out of these four focal points exist for the Middle East, Latin America, and Caribbean, and Africa. I'm sure soon Asia. The common themes within there are capacity building, funding and partnerships, communication, awareness, and engagement, and education. Next, please. The proposed initial focus areas are as follows. Having reviewed the current work ICANN carries out in support of its public responsibility, it is recommended that the public responsibility framework takes focus on four initial key areas to further strengthen ICANN's commitment to the global public interest. These could consist of projects carried out by ICANN independently with international and intergovernmental organizations or in partnership with other foundations. The four areas in mind are education, localization and inclusion, next generation projects, and inclusive Internet governance ecosystem. Next, please. education. A strategic objective, ICANN should address its public responsibility through programs and projects that will, one, more effectively communicate ICANN's role and mandate through awareness raising and educational efforts. Two, increase accessibility to ICANN's work through technical education and capacity building workshops and initiatives, both online, such as the OLP, and offline, locally. And three, engagement with academia, research facilities, and educational institutions. Next, please. Localization and inclusion. The strategic objective is ICANN should continue efforts to make information about the organization and its work accessible to those who speak languages other than English in ways that enhance participation in and the effectiveness of the multi-stakeholder model. This allows stakeholders to understand and participate in ICANN's activities as well as fulfilling ICANN's public responsibility to communicate its work effectively in an inclusive and accessible manner. This also is important to ICANN's commitment to delivering all documents in plain English to ensure accessibility and enhance speed in translation. ICANN should also explore how it can better serve the internationalization of the web through encouraging and promoting the visibility of languages, scripts other than English and the Latin alphabet. Next, please. Next generation. The strategic objective is to raise awareness and encourage participation of the next generation and offer opportunities to get involved in ICANN activities and raise awareness about and in the internet governance, supporting participation where applicable. ICANN should also engage with capacity building and training within this target group. Next, please. Inclusive internet governance ecosystem. The strategic objective is ICANN should interact with governments from developing and underdeveloped countries or underdeveloped countries to build trust and encourage participation with the ICANN model and DAC. ICANN should also encourage and guide the evolution of the private sector and civil society players in these countries and work in collaboration with their governments on national internet governance challenges, recognizing that not all internet governance issues will be solved using a global approach. ICANN should seek out collaboration with other institutions and organizations that seek to ensure the stability of an open and single internet, and who focus on ensuring the internet increases in its global accessibility. Now on recommendations. Overall recommendations. Strengthen current regional engagement strategies. Commission research to enhance the understanding of the links between internet governance and development. Continue to both strengthen existing platforms in the internet governance ecosystem and promote global collaboration with a wide variety of organizations that ensures the internet remains stable, inclusive, and accessible. Support the internationalization of the web for increasing global accessibility and promoting local content creation. Next, please. Strategic recommendation. Explore establishing an external foundation that can operate in the philanthropic space and further work to fulfill ICANN's responsibility and obligations in relation to its mission. Recognizing that less than 40% of the world's population is connected to the internet and the important link between the internet and development, especially on economic growth, ICANN should link internet policy making to development, particularly in developing and emerging countries and regions. Streamline all public responsibility efforts currently undertaken internally. Structural recommendations. ICANN should establish a public responsibility department tasked with guiding ICANN's approach to fulfilling its public responsibility obligations with an operational plan ready by mid-2014. The department should review and, where appropriate, formalize the approaches, programming, and projects serving the public interest undertaken throughout ICANN's department. Seek out partnerships in the internet ecosystem that will strengthen and support ICANN's work in serving the global public interest. Create specific public responsibility programs which fall within the scope of the four focus areas outlined in this framework. Continually review how best ICANN engage and communicate with the public in relation to serving the public interest. Continue on with structural recommendations. The department's operational plan should include a clear and concise vision, mission, and mandate for the new public responsibility department developed in consultation with all relevant ICANN departments. A 5-year timeline, including organizational structure, key objectives, targets, milestones and benchmarks, indicators of success. This should also include research and information that will lead to the generation of action plans and knowledge, action plans and targets for the four focus areas. A detailed work plan for the first year of the department's operations, including outcomes and outputs, key activities and inputs, as well as budget and human resource allocations, potential pilot programs, best practice research indicators, and monitoring mechanisms for the new department should also be identified and developed. Conducting and collating research on best practices for partnerships and collaboration, outlining criteria for establishing and strengthening partnerships, including funding information. This should result in a well-founded criteria for the department moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Ni. We're now open for questions.
Vin Cerf has his hand raised and you do have to connect from Vin.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nii. I think that your team has put together quite an agenda of work for ICANN. If we can actually see 5 years ahead, I'll be pretty excited. One thing I would like to observe is that many of the things that Beth suggested strike me as contributing to some of the objectives that your team recommended. And so I hope that the two panels and their recommendations can be absorbed by the rest of the community and shaped into a set of actions that ICANN can pursue. So thank you again and your team for providing this input.
Thank you, Vince. Do we have further comments or questions? Marilyn?
Quite confusing. Can we figure out who can be in the queue and who can't be? Is that helpful?
Marilyn, you have to use
I understand I'm in the queue, but
okay.
I see a lot of other participants, so I'll speak, but I want you to be able to there's a lot of other people saying they want to speak. And I'll make my comments, and then you can organize the rest of the queue. I'm an officer in the business constituency, and I will make my comments as an individual speaker. I really welcome the opportunity to hear from the panels that were created by the CEO, and are now coming forward to the community All of these panels are actually not fully aligned with work that is going on in the community. And I'd like to make that point, and then we can come back to how these panels might be aligned with the rest of the work of the community. My comment is I see there's an effort to bring input into the Singapore meeting, recognizing that all face-to-face meetings at ICANN are limited in participation. It's really a priority to ensure that all meetings are taking into account those of us who can come to a face-to-face meeting will do so, but we cannot consider any discussions at a face-to-face meeting definitive, and we need to have the opportunity to take into account our concerns from our communities that are not traveling. And so I want to hear what the timeline ideas are. And secondly, I would just like to say these four panels of magical, mystical workshops, magical, mystical events are, these reports are very, very helpful, but we need to understand a community has to have full time to address those reports. Thank you.
I guess what I can say is that I cannot agree more that we'd like to get more input from the community, and we are very open to receive them from any of the different ways the community interacts. But at face-to-face, we will also do our best to receive some of the inputs while there as well. I think that's what I can say for now.
Thank you, Nee. We have a comment from Alison Gilwolf, who says, I think this complements the multi-stakeholder panel very well.
I'm sorry, could you please state that? I didn't hear you.
Alison Gilwolf commented that she thinks this complements the multi-stakeholder panel very well.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to intervene? Indar, did you wish to comment? Okay, thank you, Pindar. If there are no further comments or questions, Nee, would you have some closing remarks?
No, except I'm looking for more input so that we can make very representative of the community's desires in being publicly responsible. So that's the best I can make.
Okay, thank you. If there are no further comments or questions, I think we can move on to the next agenda item, which is ICANN's role in Internet Governance Ecosystems. Vint?
Yes, thank you very much. Am I audible?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, thank you so much. Could we go now to the next slide, please? First of all, I just wanted to remind everyone that we continued to make use of the layered model of the Internet and tried to use that as a way of understanding the roles and responsibilities of various parts of the Internet ecosystem. Much of what ICANN does is down in the technical layer, which is we considered a component of both logical and infrastructure layer, where Internet naming and numbering take place. But in truth, the value of the Internet comes from the way it's used, and that we find in the content layer and above that, the social layer. Another thing I would observe about this model is that it helps us focus some attention on what kinds of mechanisms might be needed for governance concerning activities taking place in the content and social layer, as well as the technical one. We'll come back to that question momentarily when we get to the rest of the slides. So keep in mind that the layered model is still informing much of our thinking. Could we go on to the next slide? Internet governance has been the subject of a lot of debate, and I hope all of you can see this definition, which we've adopted as a working definition from the World Summit on the Information Society. And as you can see, the private sector, civil society, and governments in their respective roles have responsibilities for, you know, shared principles, norms, rules, and decision-making procedures that shape the evolution and use of the Internet, and that's the general notion of governance here. So we'll go on to the next slide. Could we go on to the, yes, thank you. So this picture is not intended to be literally read in any particular way. It's simply intended, yes, somebody's asked, this is Vince Cerf. I am speaking about the multi-stakeholder panel. The picture you see now, figure number 5, is I'm hearing a lot of echo, and it suggests that somebody may have a speaker still turned on in the Adobe Connect. But I'll continue anyway. The picture you see is simply representative of a web of relationships among many of the players, you know, in the Internet ecosystem. Please don't read anything specific into any of the particular parties listed or the lines that connect them. It's simply to give you a mental view that many, many of the participants in the Internet ecosystem have various and sundry relationships with each other. And we took this to be an opportunity to try to make more transparent and visible those relationships. So if we could go on to the next slide. The thing that the panel uniformly agreed right up front is that stewardship was a very, very important part of the ecosystem's nature. And that, and for us anyway, it meant caring more for the good management, use, and evolution of a shared resource than for any individual stake in it. This is probably a distillation of the belief that the Internet is of value because all of us participate in it and support it and try to keep it running in an open and transparent and useful way. And that should inform all of the choices that we make in terms of Internet governance. If we could go to the next slide, please. Here we started to explore various kinds of models for governance and some concepts associated with them. We all strongly agreed on the panel that the multi-stakeholder model was by far the most preferable choice for Internet governance. And here we assume that meant that the affected parties by any policy decisions participate in the policy development itself. And so the policy development is informed by those who are affected. Stewardship, again, a major and important component of what we consider to be good governance models. Globalization was important to us, especially because we were hoping that people would recognize that internationalization usually leads to intergovernmental models. Globalization, on the other hand, takes into account that the Internet is itself a non-national and rather a transnational kind of structure, and of course it leads to all kinds of interesting side effects because it doesn't follow the typical Westphalian model, which we think is now no longer applicable in the Internet space, or at least less applicable. Layering continues to inform our thinking about governance models. the web of relationships, again, is a key element of all this. And finally, I'd like to say that we seized upon the affirmation of commitments, which is the evolution of the relationship between ICANN and the U.S. government, as a very powerful tool for illuminating the nature of relationships among parties in the Internet governance ecosystem. And accountability needs to go along with that, the affirmation of mutual commitment by the parties who are part of this ecosystem. So those two form an important pair. We don't want to have parties agreeing to commitments that they make to each other without having some mechanism for assuring accountability that both parties meet their obligations. Next slide. We identified a set of principles for what we thought was good governance, and we broke them down into five R's, that is, and two of them you see here, reciprocity and respect. In the case of reciprocity, we were very quick to borrow John Postel's notion, please don't do any harm to anyone in the course of trying to carry out Internet governance, and take into account that whatever you do may come back to reflect on you based on what others perceive your governance views to be. So we want this to be a mutually harmless and non-threatening environment. Second, respect is a very important part of governance. We believe that we should honor freedom of choice and diversity. We should focus on inclusion and cooperation and collaboration, all of which have contributed to the Internet's evolution over the past 40 years. Next slide. The next R in the series is robustness, and I'm sure that everyone will appreciate that the Internet is nothing if it can't be relied upon to be functioning and robustly so. And so, again, Postel's model says be conservative in what you send and liberal in what you accept. He was speaking about protocols, and the idea there to be as careful about what you're sending but be thoughtful about receiving. Steve Crocker correctly points out that this may not be the best idea in the case of security, where you want to be pretty careful about what you both send and receive. The system needs to be technically rational. You can't have a governance system that insists on things that we don't know how to implement. We're very attracted by the idea of loose coupling, which simply means that the system is not so rigid that any change or stress in it breaks it. What we want is a system which is capable of evolution and capable of adapting to new technologies and to new applications and new requirements, and loose coupling is a shorthand way of saying that. Similarly, evolvability and business excellence is central to ICANN's role in the operation of the Internet. If it doesn't perform its job well, then other parts of the system will suffer. Simplicity and scaling are, I hope, also obvious. Anything you can do to avoid complexity should make things work more reliably. And finally, whatever the designs of the Internet are, and whatever we do with Internet governance, it's going to have to scale, because the Internet isn't over yet. Its growth continues. Next slide. The last two R's in our five R's are reasonableness and reality. We believe that Internet governance has to avoid capricious and arbitrary actions, and in order to achieve that objective, we think that transparency and accountability are essential. Two other things that have been very important in our discussions are subsidiarity and fairness. With regard to subsidiarity, we believe that if there is a problem, you should try to solve it as close to the origin of the problem as you can. And that's a very attractive way of trying to localize governance issues and resolve them without allowing them to expand unnecessarily. And fairness, I hope, is obvious. With regard to reality, we believe that if you have theories about governance, you need to test them and to evaluate how well they work in practice. And I think you heard those themes from others who made presentations before me. We think that form follows function and not the other way around. And so if we have functions we need to perform, that we should shape the Internet governance system in accordance with what those needs are. And plainly, effectiveness is everything here. And finally, we should learn from history, because we've made mistakes in the past and we surely do not need to make them again. Next slide. So ICANN, in this ecosystem, has three specific coordinating roles, all of which I'm sure everyone on this call is familiar with. One of them has to do with the application and assignment of the unique identifiers for the Internet, and it carries out this this function on behalf of the Internet and the Internet engineering, creation and evolution of the DNS name server system, and it coordinates policy development by means of the current supporting organization and various committee structures that already exist. Next slide. Here you see just a kind of graphic to show different kinds of relationships that we thought ICANN exhibits. The stewardship function is very tightly coupled to entities that are very much a part of ICANN's daily operation. The RIR is the GAC, the supporting organizations, the advisory committees, the registries, and the registrar. I misspoke. The RIRs are out in the coordination side because they're outside of the specific ambit of ICANN structures that were created within the ICANN organization. The coordination part, of course, matches a lot of activity that ICANN contributes to, but which is further executed by others that are part of the Internet environment. And finally, ICANN participates in broader interactions with national and international organizations. For example, its cooperation with the World Intellectual Property Organization in order to create mechanisms for dispute resolution. Next slide. This picture was intended to characterize ICANN's specific relationships to many different organizations. While we recognize that the layered structure isn't perfect, it helps us focus attention on what those organizations might be most interested in. And you see many of them familiar to all of you in the technical layer, but the content and social layer has become equally, if not more important, in the Internet governance space, and therefore ICANN must treat with those as well. We could draw pictures like this for other organizations, but we only chose ICANN because our committee was focused on ICANN's role in this ecosystem. Next slide. This is a reminder that there is a specific interaction between the Department of Commerce and TIA and ICANN and VeriSign for the production and distribution of the domain name system, and one of our recommendations is that we examine, again, this whole process to figure out if we can't make it considerably more efficient and more secure. Next slide. Again, a reminder that this notion of web of relationships is very important, and we got very excited about the possibility that for any particular pair or possibly group of entities, we might actually describe what the commitments are that the two or three or multiple entities make to each other, and to also have them agree on an accountability mechanism. So we should document these relationships and make them more transparent, and we think that would certainly give clarity to the way in which the Internet governance system actually functions. Next slide. So here are specific recommendations for a roadmap. The first is to continue to globalize ICANN's operation. As you know already, ICANN has set up facilities in Istanbul, in Singapore, and in the United States. Second, we think it's timely to re-examine root zone management and to look at better ways of functioning to make it more efficient and more secure. And finally, we strongly recommend that we begin documenting a web of affirmations of commitment among parties that are part of the existing Internet governance system. And where they don't have accountability mechanisms, we recommend that those be considered. And that we also recommend that there be an extension of the affirmation of commitments that presently exists between the United States and government and ICANN to create a common text that could be agreed by governments in addition to the U.S. government, so that any government that's interested in having a formalized relationship with ICANN could agree on this common text affirmation of commitments. And we think that with regard to the non-governmental organizations, that similar affirmations of mutual commitment could be made, but they would have to be tailored to the functions that ICANN and the selected party actually perform. So we believe those three things are positive steps in the direction of improving the operation of ICANN in the governance context. I think that's the last slide. So we're ready for Q&A.
Thank you very much, Finn. Do we have questions or comments?
I want to respond to JP, who says the relationships look complex, and he's right. It does look like a complex map, but any particular pair of relationships can actually be quite straightforward. A simple affirmation of mutual commitment between the parties, a statement of what the accountability mechanism is for this in the event that the two parties, or one of the two parties, believes that the other isn't meeting its obligations. And so looked at on a pairwise basis, it doesn't have to be complex. It just looks complex when you put all of them onto the same chart.
Thank you. We have Amrita in the queue. Amrita? Well, I see Amrita's posted a question in the Adobe Connect room. Let's go with Rinalia's question. What does globalization of the INF functions translate into?
So in this case, two things. The first one is the continued distribution of responsibility among the three locations of ICANN. Second, it is finding a way to establish this affirmation of commitments on a government-by-government basis, a common text for pairwise, common text for all governments to, that wish to agree to, is another element of globalization. And the third one, is establishing documented relationships among all of the various parties that have to do with ICANN in particular, many of which are not in the United States but are elsewhere. If it's all right with you, I'd like to respond to the questions that I can see on the list. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I see Fatima has asked, what do you think the good governance principles, do I think they're applicable to the Net Mundial meeting? I certainly hope so. I don't know whether we will ever end up with exactly one set of principles, but I do hope that out of Net Mundial we will see which of the principles appear to be commonly appreciated by the people who are participating in that meeting. Ultimately, all of these principles have to be turned into something we can actually implement. And for my panel anyway, I think we thought one way to do that was to establish these common affirmations of commitment that are essentially based on the principles that we all agree are essential for ICANN operation. Let's see. Amrita says, how can the multi-stakeholder model take care of issues related to government, such as cybercrime issues, where multiple countries get affected? A very good question, and I think there are two ways to go about this. As you know, there already exists some treaty-like arrangements like Interpol, in which multiple governments agree to cooperate with each other. I think we can also imagine some pairwise interactions along those same lines. It's very important, as your question implies, that the harms that take place in the Internet may originate in one country and have victims in other countries, and so there has to be some way of dealing with that. And that suggests that there have to be affirmations of commitment and agreement with regard to law enforcement that are transnational in their character. There's a question from Sonigitu, who says, how can Africa benefit from all this when the IXP is located abroad? My honest reaction to this is, let's get more IXPs in Africa. That's one point. And second, if it turns out that you have relationships between IXPs that are not in the same country or continent, there's nothing stopping IXPs who are interconnected from establishing an affirmation of mutual commitment to each other and an accountability mechanism. And so I'd actually encourage an attempt to make such, to find such commitments to see if we can make them work. Marilyn says Net Mundial shouldn't be a singular event, and I agree with that. In fact, it isn't. As should be clear to everybody, there are a whole series of meetings related to Internet governance which are taking place, this being one of them. Others will take place in South America. Additional panel meetings will take place, the high-level panel, which met last a couple of weeks ago. In California, we'll meet again in Dubai and possibly another time as well. Then comes the IGF, and then comes the Plenipod. So there is still much more work to be done, and all of the suggestions that are being produced, I think, are helpful in showing us the kaleidoscopic view that we all have to sort out in order to make for a workable Internet governance environment. Rinalia asked the question, would these changes result in the removal of USG authorization? I don't know for sure that that is what will happen, but it is something very much worth contemplating, since that unique position of the U.S. government is inconsistent with the idea that no stakeholder should have any special or unique authority over any other. I'm not seeing hands up, and I'm not seeing, oh, here we are, Marilyn, let's see. The high-level panel is the fifth panel that was created. That fifth panel and high-level panel are the same thing. It's the one that's chaired by the president of Estonia. I've just run into a serious problem. My screen has gone black, and I can't get logged back in again. You can probably hear me typing furiously. Wow. I can't get back into my own computer. This is a serious problem. Well, I'm blind right now. It's Vince. So this is bizarre. I've never seen this happen before.
Thank you, everyone. We're actually out of time at the moment, so we're going to have to end the call today. Thank you all for participating in today's webinar. If you keep the chat open, I'll pop in the emails for the strategy panel so that you can email them directly with your questions. Thank you.
And
thank
may
you.
Also remind everyone that the public comment period on draft reports will run through April 30th, and that we're having a public discussion with panel chairs in Singapore on March 24th. Thank you very much all for your attention.